Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Get inspired. Do-it-yourself projects. Lowe's.com. DIY projects. You're at home more than ever. Do-it-yourself stuff at Lowe's. I got a bar cart. Put it together. And I'm not somebody who's like a fix-it dude, but it wasn't that tough. Check it out on my Twitter account. Tony Gonzalez played 17 years in the NFL and made the Pro Bowl 14, which is the record-tying number of times any human being in the NFL has ever made the Pro Bowl. He's a Hall of Famer. Missed two games in 17 years, which doesn't even sound right. You'd think you'd be like late to the game or something. Get caught in traffic or something. And Tony Gonzalez is now joining us live. By the way, I heard his wife on a podcast the other day. She has got an amazing story. Your wife is fascinating. I guarantee you this. She holds you accountable. I can tell from her podcast.
Yeah, she's a real hard ass. There's no doubt about that. But hey, what are you going to do? That's marriage, right?
Exactly. All you and I do all day, Tony, is sacrifice. That's what we do.
Just trying to make a living.
Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, I've been on this thing for a couple years where the NFL has changed. I think tight ends they're the ninth highest paid position, I think. Safeties get paid less, nobody else. But I think the game has changed. I think George Kittle and Travis Kelce are more valuable than a wide receiver because I think we demand more from them. And the guys like a Kittle, a Kelce, you can't – linebacker's too slow, secondary guy's too small. So both those guys signed big contracts, won an extension, George Kittle got it. Were you a little jealous or was it it's about time people get the tight end?
I was 10% jealous. 90% happy as heck for those guys. First of all, I know them off the field too as well. They're good guys. But, you know, looking at the deal, and I say this with, you know, with humility and all that stuff, I still think they should have got more money than what they got. But obviously, they're paid and they're set for life and all that good stuff. But comparatively speaking, looking at the other positions around the league, what these guys do, they bring to the table, especially this man right here, Kittle. He's a blocker, and you look at the numbers and the run game when he was out last year, it went down significantly. And then what he does in the passing game speaks for itself. Oh, you know, over 1,000 yards, close to 10 touchdowns. Both those guys lighting it up in the secondary. I am so happy for them to get this money. But, you know, and I went through this when I played. You know, going into every time it came to negotiations, when I was in the league, they would say, well, Tony, you're putting up all these numbers. You had 100 catches. You had over 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. But you're a tight end, so we can't pay you like a wide receiver, even though you do block as well. And I like the trend. I like where it's going. But I think it speaks to something bigger in the NFL. Why do we play by position? Right. I think it would help the NFL not overpaying guys. Just because a guy's a left tackle or just because a guy's a wide receiver, he's not a Pro Bowl guy, but he catches 80 balls. Why do you have to pay him $20 million a year if he's worth less than that? And vice versa, for a guy like Kittle and Kelce, where it's look at him just because they're a tight end. It's about what they bring to the table. I think everybody understands that that's just the fair way, but I'm happy as heck for these guys. I'm happy for their organizations, the fans. They got themselves some unbelievable tight ends. These guys are going to be Hall of Famers when they retire too as well. These guys are the real deal.
So Gronk in Tampa. So let's go to the last year of your career, because I think this is the last year probably Gronk plays. I think he's still a very good blocker. I think he's a situational red zone receiver. He can be very tough. Go to your last year playing and talk some Gronk about – are there limitations? Do you see the game differently? Do you go in and see yourself as an ally? How's your relationship with the quarterback your last year playing in the NFL?
Well, I think with Gronk and Brady, obviously the only reason Gronk is even in the NFL right now coming back is because he gets to play with a guy like Tom, who he knows very well. They know each other really well, so they're going to be able to read each other's thoughts. They're going to know what each other liked, and they're going to be able to have success because of that. Great success. I anticipate these guys going for at least 8-10 touchdowns because he's going to be used like nobody else in the red zone this year. But when you have that much history and you can come in, and I remember this with the guys that I played with, Matt Ryan, for example, especially towards the end of it, where I wasn't as fast as I used to be in year 16, 17. I wasn't as quick as I used to be. But having that caliber of a quarterback like Matt Ryan, and then me being able to have that relationship with him to say, hey, let's watch this film. This is what I like. This is where I want that football. This is where I want it placed. And believe it or not, that's not how it is in the NFL. A lot of guys don't have that type of relationship off the field. These guys have that. And that's why I think there's going to be success, where it was like, I don't even have to be as fast as everybody else because you put that ball right where I like it. And Gronk is 6 foot six, you know, 275 pounds. He's jumping up there. He's got a big range. Brady's one of the most accurate passers in NFL history. These guys are going to make magic, especially now because you can't double team Gronk. Like when I got there, I had Julio Jones and I had Roddy White, so it was very hard to double team me. So in my later years, I was having all the success because once you get a guy like that one-on-one coverage, you can't guard him. You can't guard him. So I'm excited to see how this plays out, and I already know how it's going to play out. If they're healthy, these guys are going to make magic this year like they always have, especially with that group with Mike Evans and all the weapons that they have on that offense. Tom Brady's going to have an MVP-type year.
You know, it's interesting. I think Cleveland's actually really good. I think they solved their tackle issue. They've got Austin Hooper now, David Njoku, OBJ. I think Jarvis Landry's wildly underrated, Nick Chubb. So they got all the pieces, but they have a new coach, no preseason. Is preseason valuable? Like, I mean, be honest about it. Did you need preseason?
Well, I don't think I needed preseason, just especially as I got going. I think when you're a young player, absolutely. When you're in year one, two, three, four, you need that time just to gel, to get your legs back, get yourself right mentally, because mentally is something that takes a little while to click in the NFL. I don't care what profession you're in. You just want to be really have it up here. I'm looking at it. It is going to be tough for all teams. That's the thing about this, though. It's not just one team that's going through it. It's all the teams going through it. There's going to be growing pains, learning curves, all that good stuff. But if you have horses, which is what they do, they have. When I talk about horses, I'm talking what my horse is faster than yours. It goes around the track faster. They have some elite quality players out there. They just need to simplify the offense. With all those weapons, and I think Baker is going to have a very, very good year if they just keep things simple and you don't have to overcomplicate it. You have that many weapons. It's like, hey, just get the ball near me and I'm going to make that play. I anticipate Baker's another guy that I will say, I'm going out on a little limb here, he could be in that MVP conversation by the time the season's done. He has that much talent around him that he can go out there and become one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year.
Finally, I would never have predicted Baltimore 16-0 in a normal season. I would have said 13-3. But I think the good teams are going to be dominant this year, and the bad teams are going to be awful. Because of no camp, no OTAs, if you have a new coach like the Giants, new coach, young quarterback, I think you could just be awful. Through a lot of it, no fault of your own, you just have a new system. I think the Baltimore's, Kansas City's, could just wreck people. That you got, like Philadelphia, same quarterback, same coordinator, same coach, mostly same, you know, people. Did you ever play in a team that you even, going into a season, you thought, we could win every game? Or do players think like that?
I mean, you like to think like that. I don't think you really say, hey, we're going to win every single football game. But I knew we were going to be good. I mean, when I played for the Falcons, we went to the NFC Championship game. We were loaded, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, Michael Turner in the backfield, John Abraham on defense, where you're looking around, you're saying, oh my gosh, we're going to be really good. I don't know how they're going to stop us this year. And we went out there and had great success, and it was fun. And we had that history, too. We had been around each other for 3 years. I think that was Julio's third year in the league where he was starting to come into his own. And so when you have everybody who's been around each other, you have veteran players, you have the, like I said, going back to, you have the horses now. It's not like we're average football players. We are elite football players at our positions. Then you know you're going to have success. And I look at the Baltimore Ravens. There is no doubt that they're going to go out there and they're going to wreck teams. And I agree with you 100%. The teams that have been better, that have had that veteran leadership, the guys that played with each other for a while at those key positions, The coaches know the team really, really well. They have a huge advantage this year to go out and have great success. So the Baltimore Ravens, 16-0, I doubt it. But I do believe that they are going to be in contention with the Chiefs to go out there and represent AFC in that Super Bowl again.
By the way, I was looking at that footage of you when you played. You were all buffed up. Now you're all skinny and stuff. You know, how much did you...
Are you kidding me? Hold on now. Can you get the camera angle in there? I don't know. You know.
I can't really see it. So what do you weigh today?
I am 230.
What did you weigh then?
I was about 247, 245 then, or whatever, 245. So yeah, I'm getting old. You know, that's why me and you trade secrets. How do we stay in shape? We don't eat too much. Cold showers. whatever it takes, right, Colin?
No, he told me, Joy, he told me I take a cold shower for 90 seconds every morning. Tony, I first thought that I was out of his gourd. And then I did it, and he said, because I get sluggish in the morning, and I did it. It is, first of all, you get used to it now. You don't like it. It's not like coffee where you wake up, you can't wait for it. But you wake up and you're like, after about 10 days of it, I do cold showers. Have you ever tried that?
No. I believe you. I'll take your word for it.
What else do you do to stay healthy? You don't exercise anymore, right?
I do, 30, 35 push-ups a day, a couple sit-ups here and there. And then I do a little walking. And then I don't eat much. Intermittent fasting. You know, download the Zero app if you ever want to learn how to do intermittent fasting. But that is a game changer for longevity and health.
So you basically...
Meaning I only eat twice a day. That's what it means.
So people don't know you go on long walks and don't eat. You might as well just move to Florida and retire. Good seeing you, Tony.
Thank you, boy. Thank you.
All right, Tony Gonzalez. I got to eat. Boy, that's one I don't have the ability to not eat. I got to eat.
You eat literally all day.
All day. I just had a handful of peanuts. I had a Fig Newton bar. I had oatmeal.
You and these Fig Newtons.
Oh, then at lunch today, I may knock down mutton. I may do stew. I'm going to eat big at lunch today.
Stew?
Oh.
Okay, listen. I love soup. It is too hot for soup right now.
It is. In L.A.,
it
we have a...
so listen, hot.
These are L.A. problems, but it's a little warm in L.A.
Well, I think it's... I'm pretty sure it's hot everywhere
right now.
Yeah. Everyone in the country, I think, is having a heat wave.
Oh, okay.
Death Valley was just like 130 degrees.
Well, if you move to a place and the first word is death...
Yeah. It might get hot.
You don't
there.
Have a lot of sympathy. Like, if you move to a place happy... Valley, you'd be like, oh, people are just smiling all day. But if the first place is, yeah, I live in Death Canyon, well, that kind of sums it up. I mean, seriously, like, people are like, oh, can you?
I mean, I'm not saying that that's like a pleasant place usually to be. Like, it's probably usually hot in Death Valley.
Do you know the most important air conditioning unit in America is the Death Valley Hotel?
Yeah.
That air conditioning goes, people die. They have a Death Valley Hotel. You can Google it. Yeah, I mean, the air conditioning unit there, that's the single most important air conditioning unit in North America. It's valuable.
Ah.
Yeah. It's the LeBron of air conditioning units. All right, here's Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, Cam Newton, Brian Hoyer, and Jarrett Stidham have all been getting reps at Patriots training camp.
Oh, yeah, all of them.
Cam is expected to be the starter, but Bill Belichick hasn't ruled out using multiple quarterbacks this season. And when asked if New England could use a platoon under center this year, he said he would certainly consider it if it would benefit the team.
Nonsense. This is just it. This story. Anybody that...
I'm with you. I wouldn't call myself manipulative, but I have observed enough manipulation to know
you can spot
when someone is up to something. Well, like, how much evidence do we need
that he's the most?
Bill Belichick is the most detailed planned.
A plan for everything.
Like, sees things years ahead of time. Like, it's his whole brand.
That's what separates him from everybody. He's a step ahead of the league in planning.
He cuts people a year before they are bad while they're still good, and everyone thinks he's crazy. Like, this is his whole thing, is being ahead of the curve. He's just winging it this year. He's just like, yeah, just this, you know what, this year, I'm just going to have a little fun.
It's not who he is. You have to believe Maya Angelou. People will show you who they are.
Believe them.
Just believe what people show you.
It's only been, what do we have, 20 years, 20 plus years of evidence that this is not how he gets down. I mean, listen, I think this year is very unique. I think he understands he's in a unique situation, but I don't think he's just throwing caution to the wind and just letting the chips fall where they may.
Sharon snaps with three. Hey, we're not even having two quarterbacks. We have three this year. Brian will play first, Cam second, Jarrett Stidham third, which is everybody just go out and have a good time.
Even when they hadn't brought Cam in, I didn't believe that he was just going to run with Stidham and just even see how things
even go. Even the day they brought Cam in, it was the day bad news was being published on the Patriots. The day they brought Cam in, it was a manipulating ploy.
We couldn't even bring ourselves to talk about it. Like, we just mentioned that it had happened, and I think we talked about it for like 5 minutes. Not even because it wasn't important. It was just like, there's just better stuff to talk about now. So it worked.
There's always been this cliche. Belichick winning means too much for him to lose a game. Well, winning means so much for Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, but they have tax write-offs. People that trade stocks, they want to win on every stock. But when you have a loser, you exacerbate the loser to save you on capital gains elsewhere. So it's like business people want to win every company. But when you realize you got a dog, it's okay. You use it against your tax gains. Like, smart people understand there are losses. It's when you're losing. And Belichick knows, I can lose this year and then get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields.
Because he's the ultimate strategist.
Yes. But now I'm supposed to believe he's just no plan, making rough. Doesn't work.
So Joe Burrow is learning as he works through his first NFL training camp, but so far he's feeling good about the progress in the Bengals offense.
Very confident. No, I feel very comfortable with the offense right now. I feel very comfortable with my guys. And I think we're going to be pretty good on offense. I'm excited more so than nervous, I would say.
He's mumbling. I hope his audibles are better than that. There's a lot of mumbling.
He's wearing a mask on a Zoom.
Oh, you got a mask in football.
Media.
Can't be mumbly.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Look at that ball. Hey, some people are visionaries.
I don't even know. Like, why does it still surprise me? I will say, though.
No, you don't think that's worrisome, that throw.
No, I do not think it's worrisome.
No, watch these throws. Time out. Look at this. Watch this. Oh,
Colin,
my God.
It's camp. It's camp. How do we know that this is not like the first 5 seconds that he's on the field and just warming up?
I mean, look at that thing.
That was a great throw. Right there.
Okay.
Listen, I think to what you and Tony were just talking about, I think that the separation between new coaches, new quarterbacks, new coordinators, which is something that the Giants have three of. I mean, obviously, you know, the quarterback's been there for a year, but these situations where you have young guys and new coaches, I'm just giving a pass due this year.
All right.
If you do anything above basic in these situations, you should be commended because they're so up against it this year. I mean, normally a situation like this coming into a regular season with Joe Burrow after the season that he had at LSU and everything else being normal, there would be so much pressure. We would be talking about Joe Burrow every single day, even if the Bengals were the worst team in the league last year, which they were.
Didn't love that throw. All right, whatever. I'll just move off it. I guess old supervision Cowherd here can't see it this time.
Your camp evaluation vision. Finally, the Magic shocked the Bucks yesterday. 8 seeds doing really well yesterday and won the series opener 122-110.
Wow.
And Giannis talked about his approach going forward as Milwaukee tries to bounce back in game two.
Play harder, be more vocal, lead by example. Like, at the end of the day, you know, we're in a situation. I can't change, you know, who I am and know what I do. And what I do, as I said earlier, is that, you know, get on the court and do whatever it takes to win.
I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves with these wins. Even the Blazers. Like, I still think that the Lakers will win that series. I still think that the Bucks will win this series. Game one, I think, is more for teams like, say, the Heat. I'm glad that the Heat won game one.
Didn't they do that last year? Didn't
the Magic, the Magic beat
DJ Augustine.
The Raptors in game one and then went on to
They played great for a game.
Yeah, and they got swept. And they talked about it yesterday. Like, they realized, the Magic realized this is just one game. And so the Bucks do too. Everyone's going to make adjustments. They're series for a reason. I just think for when you look at how they played overall, that is what is concerning to me. Like, I'm not worried about this series. It's to Nick's point. Like, you are trying to win a championship, right? And now you got to get past the Magic, which I think that they will.
And still, I don't like Milwaukee getting whacked by Orlando, and the Lakers were awful last night offensively.
No,
it's still a problem.
I don't love it. It's still a problem. It still means something, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. They're series for a reason. This is one game. That happens again, I'll start to be a little more concerned. But to me, the concern with Milwaukee is not even really the Eastern Conference. Like, you're not going to play like that against whatever team comes out of the West and be successful. You're going to get swept in the finals if that's how you come out and perform. Obviously, it's game one. But to me, the other thing is that's concerning with both the Lakers and the Bucks is how LeBron and Giannis are talking about the bubble right now.
I know. They're all, like, freaked out. They're like, it's very intense and... But Damian Lillard's not bothered by it.
I'm not saying that it's not. Different situations affect people differently, but there is something to them mentioning that,
you know,
to
what?
Me that is subtly concerning.
Some people do not deal with chaos well and change well, and you and I have moved around the country for our job, so my wife and I, we joke about it all the time. If you told us tomorrow we had to move, we'd be like, all right, let's go. But a lot of people, like, they live in a house for 40 years, same neighborhood, same zip code.
And so routine is very important to
athletes. That's right. That's right. Very important.
Something to pay attention to.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
There's a game called Duck, Duck, Goose. We're playing Buck, Bucks, Choose. Tampa Bay Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks. Buck, Bucks, Choose. Very creative staff here on the Best for Last.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Bucks had their first playoff game yesterday, lost. Football season starts in a couple of weeks. What is the date today? Hold on.
August 19th.
It's the 19th today. So we're about 3 weeks from the NFL season starting.
That's crazy.
3 weeks from tomorrow night.
That's crazy.
Best for last. Duck, Duck, Goose. This is called Buck, Bucks, Choose. Joy, team me up. Here we go.
All right. Which team will have a higher ranked offense, the Tampa Bay Bucks or the Milwaukee Bucks?
That's probably, if they're all that easy, I would go with the Tampa Bay Bucks. They were number three last year in yards, number three in offense, and that's with a lot of turnovers. They've added Brady. They've added Gronk. They've added Shady McCoy. They fixed their right tackle situation. They're going to be a much more efficient offense, and that should mean more yards and more scoring. And, their receivers and their tight ends are still young, so these are ascending players, so that's an easy one, Buccaneers.
Which team will have the higher-ranked defense, the Bucks or the Bucks?
I would say the Milwaukee Bucks, simply because they won't face as many high-powered offenses. I think the Tampa Bay Bucks defense is good, but Drew Brees twice, Matt Ryan twice, Teddy Bridgewater and Matt Rhule twice is a handful. I think Tampa Bay also faces Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. I like Tampa's defense, but they are facing, just this. Mahomes, Rodgers, Brees twice, Matt Ryan twice. That's five Super Bowl, Pro Bowl level quarterbacks. So Bucks don't face nearly as many offensive threats in the East.
Which team will have more wins, the Tampa Bay Bucks regular season or the Milwaukee Bucks postseason?
It'll be close. Probably Milwaukee Bucks postseason. If the Milwaukee Bucks get to the finals, that's 12 wins. Just getting to the finals, right, would be 12. If they won two games in the finals, that would be like 14. Even if they lost the finals and won two games in the finals, the Milwaukee Bucks would have 14 postseason wins. I am very high on the Tampa Bay Bucks, but not that high.
Okay. Which team is more likely to win their conference, the Tampa Bay Bucks or the Milwaukee Bucks?
More likely the Milwaukee Bucks because, again, Toronto lost Kawhi and now Gordon Hayward's out for a month for Boston. So those are big offensive pieces. It's not that the Buccaneers, they just have a harder road. I mean, in the NBA, the Eastern Conference is much easier than the Western Conference. In the NFL, Tom Brady's now in the NFC, which is much thicker than the AFC. AFC, you get Ravens, Chiefs up top. Then it's a lot of you don't know. In the NFC, I don't think the Rams are going to make the playoffs, and I think they have the second-best young coach in football, the best defensive lineman in football, may have the best, second-best, third-best receiving core in football. So I just think the NFC's thick.
Which team is more likely to win the title in 2020, the Tampa Bay Bucks or the Milwaukee Bucks?
The Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm picking them for the Super Bowl. Tom's been there before, and I do think they're just missing the quarterback. I don't think they have – Special teams worry me in close games, but they're offensively, they just need a quarterback, and defensively, they were excellent. And again, my problem is I haven't seen the Tampa Bay Bucks, so I can go on hope and optimism. I'm watching the Milwaukee Bucks in the bubble.
Yeah.
I'm watching Milwaukee last night or yesterday. I watched Milwaukee at the end of the regular season. They do not have a number two go-to star that I think can take over games. I think Chris Middleton can drop 24 in any night, but I don't think he's a takeover a game in a series guy.
You are so high on the Tampa Bay Bucks.
I am.
What will be higher, Brady's touchdown passes this season or Giannis's points per game this postseason?
Yeah, Giannis, there's so many people scoring in the bubble right now. I think it's going to be Tom Brady's touchdowns or more. First of all, his over-under is like 30. Fox bet. I think it's 29 and a half.
I would take the over than that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's basically 30 on Fox bet. And whereas Giannis is scoring about 29 a game. And I also think for Giannis, if Toronto's very good defensively and the Clippers are very good defensively, so two of the next three teams Giannis is going to play are really going to give him problems. Kawhi gave him problems last year with Toronto. So, I the Celtics don't match up with Giannis at all, but Toronto does and the Clippers do, and so I think Giannis's average could come down.
Which team is more likely to still have their MVP in 2022, Tampa Bay Bucks or Milwaukee Bucks?
Tampa Bay Bucks, because Tom's not going to play for 1 year. Brady's going to play probably two, maybe three. Giannis is a free agent. And if they don't get to the finals, and I don't think they match up particularly well with Toronto. I don't. Now that Fred VanVleet is playing this well and Siakam's playing this well, those guys are ascending. I'm not sure Milwaukee gets past Toronto. I didn't believe that pre-bubble. I do now. I've watched Toronto in the bubble. I've watched Milwaukee. I think Toronto's going to beat them. I really do. Now, Gordon Hayward being out, I would take Milwaukee over Boston. Boston doesn't match up particularly well with Toronto, with Milwaukee. So I would say I would choose the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Which team star will win more titles in the 2020s, Tampa Bay Bucks or Milwaukee Bucks?
Well, Tampa Bay, because they'll win one. I think Brady's got one more Super Bowl.
And you don't think Giannis will win?
No, I don't. I think Giannis...
Even if he leaves?
Well, no, if he leaves, then he's not a Milwaukee Buck.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think Giannis is going to win titles.
So if he stays with the Bucks, you don't think the Bucks will win
a title? No, I don't. I think they have a major... I think this is the year to win. Because I think the East is weaker this year.
I think all the pressure is on Milwaukee this year.
So I think some of the reasons Milwaukee's not playing well. You know, Giannis talked about that weird soundbite we didn't get. Some of it's just, I think they feel the pressure. I think Middleton feels it, that he knows. Chris Middleton's been around the NBA. He knows he has to be huge. He knows what's riding on this, and I think Giannis feels the pressure. I'm the MVP. They're going to get past Orlando, but when Giannis comes out and says it feels different here, it's like, time out. That's not what I want to hear the MVP say. James Harden was energized. Ja Morant was energized. Dame Lillard, Devin Booker, these young kids are like, let's go every night, play hard. I don't like Giannis saying, I don't know, it's uncomfortable here. I don't love that. Don't love it.
It's not surprising to me.
Yeah. You know, it's just, I feel lucky. So I move my kids around a lot because of my career. So my kids have lived in Portland, Connecticut, Vegas, traveled a lot, Los Angeles. And so they're just, when my daughter went to college, she said, Dad, some of the kids here are crying. They call their parents every night. She's like, I don't know. I love it here. And I'm like, yeah, because you've always, you've been, you know, you,
in a comfortable situation.
Yeah, you're comfortable. You and I with our broadcasting, we just moved all over the country. It's not like that for everybody. I mean, and Milwaukee's an interesting team. You think they're young, but they're actually one of the older NBA teams. They're an interesting roster.
Well, it's not that Giannis hasn't been in uncomfortable situations before. I think that this is just unprecedented, and I assumed that this was going to have a different, you know, emotional, mental effect on differing players, like how you handle being in the bubble. It's all basketball all the time.
Yeah. Lowe's, get inspired, do-it-yourself projects. You don't go to bars like you used to. You don't go to as many restaurants. You're not traveling as much. You're at home. Do-it-yourself projects. Lowe's.com. I made a bar cart. Pretty cool. Check it out on Twitter. So we are done for today. I want to thank Tony Gonzalez. Monty Williams was amazing. Nick Wright, Bruce Gadkowski. Good show today. We'll see you tomorrow on Thursday.